Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 75. My name is John. You wear your mask, I'll wear mine. They don't come cheap, but they fit just fine. You can be her and I can be him. We can both sink when the rest don't swim. I've said it before in this podcast, and I'm going to say it again. We're being divided. There are charlatans out there right now looking to exploit any schism they can find that will foster anger, resentment, and fear in one group of people about another group of people. If there is any kind of crisis or horrific event, they will use it to try to twist the hearts and minds of people. If they can't find a crisis or a horrific event, they'll figure out a way to make one. They want you to be afraid of others who are different from you. Let's start with the obvious. After all, it is an election year. Republicans and Democrats divide the country. The ideology of the conservative right wing is portrayed as an evil that must be defeated by the liberal left wing. The ideology of the liberal left wing is portrayed as an evil that must be defeated by the conservative right wing. It's gotten so outlandish that more and more people are rejecting both of them as infantile and asinine. But the Republicans are divided within their own party. The evangelical Republicans are at odds with the country club Republicans, who are at odds with the blue-collar Republicans. The bickering between the various factions has allowed Donald Trump to navigate and exploit the division all the way to take the party's presidential nomination. The Democrats are also divided. There's the neoliberal section that coronated Hillary Clinton almost 4 years ago as the expected successor to the party's presidential nominee. Then there's also the socialist section, led by Bernie Sanders, who are putting fear into the Clinton campaign. It's bad enough that the only real differences between these sects is merely variation on how to tax, regulate, and control the American people. But when opposing party ideologies meet, they are now clashing with physical violence. Now would be a good time to go back and listen to my Clan of the Fist podcast, number 14. It's bad enough that people feel the need to react with violence if they don't get the control that they want. But now it's over words and inferred meanings. This does not bode well. By the way, you'll notice I, as I often do, I'm trying to drive home the point that it doesn't matter which big political party is in control, or which faction within the political party is in control. Replace one bad idea with another bad idea, then all you end up doing is exchanging fascist for fascist. If you've listened to the past couple of podcasts, you know I'm a big fan of DC Comics. A series just wrapped up called The Omega Men, written by Tom King and drawn by Barnaby Badenga, and my apologies if I'm mispronouncing your name. There have been other iterations of this book, so while the others are good, I'm specifically talking about Volume 3 by these specific creators. It is a deep, powerful, and gut-wrenching deep space science fiction story, and it is very political. Unfortunately, sales were never very high, even with a very devoted following, So issue 12, published just earlier this week, is the last. Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? Is the protagonist really doing the right thing? What happens when you learn the truth about the faction you support? It's a great read. It gave me something to think about, made me question some of my ideals, and reinforced others. All my favorite books do that. This being a comic book, it does show far more severe physical fighting than anything we witness amongst the bickerings in our political system. But that only reinforces how foolish and futile the arguments of Republicans versus Democrats have been, and will continue to be. But even libertarians are not immune. I don't expect anybody to notice this, but I have dropped the capitalized libertarian from my official description because I can no longer devote time to the party because of my job. But I am wary of the infighting and division that has come up over the last few months in the Libertarian Party. I like Gary Johnson. I've had the opportunity to look him in the eyes, shake his hand, and hear what he has to say in his own words. But I don't agree with everything he believes, and if there is a better candidate, I would support him or her. But there have been Peterson and McAfee supporters who make some of these Trump and Sanders fanatics look positively gentlemanly. I've been completely turned off by the different factions. What do you really think you have to gain by causing divisiveness amongst libertarians, trying to fracture the party? Look, libertarianism is meant to be a little bit vague, and the Libertarian Party purposely makes some of their platform vague and noncommittal, because the whole idea is to find out what is right for you and fit it into a system where you can believe what you believe, I can believe what I want to believe, and everyone defends your right to believe what you want. That's why, for example, there's no firm stance on abortion either way. If you don't believe in owning a gun, but you are okay with others owning guns, then you can make your way into the Libertarian Party. If your religion believes marriage is between one man and one woman, but you are fine with people who don't believe in your religion to marry a person of the same sex, then you can make your way into the libertarian philosophy. So why insult and belittle others who are supposed to be fighting for the same cause? Division can be a good thing. Division is honest. Division shows people for who they really are. Division shows intentions for what they really are. I would rather be divided because Bernie Sanders was honest, telling me that he wants to punish my hard work by forcing me to surrender my earnings to pay for his foolhardy schemes. I would rather be divided because Ted Cruz was honest, telling me that he wants to ban gay marriage. I know I can oppose those two. I know what to expect. I know how to prepare. I can proclaim that Bernie Sanders is wrong because taxation is indeed theft, and his socialist propaganda is the road to serfdom. I can proclaim that Ted Cruz is wrong because the government has no business defining marriage one way or another. But when it comes to candidates like Trump and Clinton, I just don't know who they really are. I mean, I know one is trying to gain power, and the other is trying to retain power, but that's pretty much any politician. I expect Clinton to continue the Democrat tradition of supporting whatever cause will help her and her party get reelected. Trump? Who the fuck knows? The guy waffles and backtracks quicker than any presidential candidate I've ever known in my adult life. And since these are the front runners and the expected nominees, it doesn't surprise me that they're keeping it vague so their zealots can have a broad interpretation. Plus, since people are still too afraid to vote third party, the nominees have to keep their true intentions secret until it's too late for the voters to realize their mistake. All to foster more anger, more resentment, and more fear. And like I said before, it doesn't help that people are out there looking to exploit the schisms at every opportunity. But not every schism is exploited. Sometimes the schisms are just there, and people let them be. Every year, Gina and I take the week of our anniversary off and take a vacation together. Last year, we were fortunate enough to afford a good deal on a trip to a resort in the Dominican Republic. We decided, while we were there, to take a mini Cooper tour of the island. Basically, a bunch of people rent mini Coopers from this place by the resort. A guide in the lead car takes a caravan around a few places on the island. One of the stops was the Basilica Catedral Nuestra Señora de la Altagracia. I'm not going to even try to do that again. It's basically a big cathedral. And they gave us a tour of the museum and gift shop adjacent to the property, and then the extravagant church. The entire place revolves around the story of a little girl from that city who asked her father for a portrait of a woman she saw in her dreams. Some accounts say specifically that it was the Virgin Mary, others say it was just a woman. Her father, unable to find a picture as his journey nears its end, is suddenly given one by a mysterious stranger. When he brings it back to his daughter, she proclaims that that is exactly the woman in the picture in her dreams. According to the lore, the portrait was then placed in the house. For some reason, at the break of dawn each day, the portrait was always found outside the house, beneath a small tree. And every day the girl would move the portrait back inside until she finally thought to tell her parents about it. The place became sacred, and the basilica was built on that same spot. Now, I spent 33 years in the Christian religion. And even I thought that was all a load of hooey. I walked through that museum, looking at all the ornate items made in the name of this picture, whispering the occasional snarky comment to Gina, who would hit me on the shoulder and tell me to be quiet lest I offend someone. There were hundreds of little items made by poor people scraping their meager monies together to take to a festival for the picture. Some of the trinkets these poor people had made were heaped together in a pile in one of the museum rooms. The cathedral itself was insanely ornate. I couldn't bring myself to walk up the stairs to the shrine of the picture. It was just so ridiculous to me. So, just in case you don't get it from my tone, let me be clear. I felt all of it was a colossal monument to futility. I think it is certainly unethical and bordering on criminal for religious leaders to foster that kind of faith in people. This is not centered around a deity, or even upon the avatar or offspring of a deity. Technically, it's not even centered on the human servant of a deity. It's centered on a fucking picture. And all the gaudy things made in honor of this picture on display in the museum, and all the little things made by people who barely have enough money to survive, and the videos of hordes of these people gathering to celebrate the picture. I can't help but think of all the good that could have been done had the precious metals and jewels and all the work hours dedicated to these things were put to efforts to build up people's lives rather than worshiping a picture. It pains me to say it because I don't really want to be hurtful. But to me, it's all just nonsense. Now, if anybody had come up to me and asked me what I thought about all of it, I would have been honest. Not brutal, but honest. But you know what I did end up saying to all those people? Absolutely nothing. Not because I was afraid. I've stood up to religious leaders before. No, I said nothing because if that's what they want to do with their lives and their effort and their money, I won't stand in their way. I may not understand your beliefs, but if that's what you want to do, and you're not using your beliefs as an excuse to take away my rights, then do whatever the hell you want. I know other people think my beliefs are dumb. I don't want them trying to force me to believe something else. Inevitably, ideas, beliefs clash with each other. How we resolve these conflicts will show history how well we adhered to our stated ideals. Lately, a new battlefront has been drawn, this time regarding the bathroom usage of transgendered people. Now, I'm not here yet to opine my solution because I don't quite have one. I'm listening to both sides, at least the people on both sides who are putting forth respectful cases on why they believe what they believe. I have a tendency to ignore those who spit vitriol. I hear good points on both sides, but what I want to do right now, instead of trying to dissect the issue, is read to you a question and answer from a transgendered person to musician Andrew W.K. I thought about just reading excerpts, but I think the whole thing needs to be heard. Dear Andrew, last month I came out as transgender, beginning my transition to female. My mom has repeatedly tried to get me to move back home and see a therapist to fix me. My oldest sister called me a sexual deviant and forbid me to talk to my nieces and nephew, all of whom I was very close to. It's now been a month since this has happened. My question is, how can I reach out to my mom and my sister to help them understand better? Sincerely, rejected trans woman. Dear rejected trans woman, first and foremost, I commend you for moving forward with an incredibly intense yet deeply important choice. The choice to be yourself. Choosing to be true to oneself, despite physical, emotional, and social challenges that may come with the journey, is an integral part of realizing not just one's own potential, but of realizing the true nature of our collective human spirit. This spirit is what makes us who we are, and by following that spirit as it manifests outwardly and inwardly, you are benefiting us all. This is what defines and furthers our shared journey of discovery and individuality. You are you. And as you progress on this adventure, you are striving to release more of that you-ness from deep within and out into the world. And this you-ness is truth. Truth as expressed through your life as a unique person. It's your song, your melody. Each of us has a melody that is meant to be heard loud and clear. Our purpose in life is to transcend all the aspects of ourselves and our surroundings that seek to block out or interfere with the pure and uninhibited singing of this music inside us. The degree to which we are truly successful as humans is the degree to which we have mastered the art of being one and the same with our own song. So that it's not even a separate melody we're singing, but rather we are the melody itself. Some of us struggle with our greatest enemy, fear, and often do not get far in our efforts to release our true self out into the world. You should feel proud that you have already conquered the hardest challenge of conquering and freeing yourself from yourself. The remaining challenges may be painful, but they are really only disguised opportunities for you to expand your heart and spirit to even larger and truer dimensions. Trust in the ordeals. There are many things that can stand in the way of our efforts to release our true self, but most of these things don't have much power over us in the end, despite their apparent material or psychological impacts. Ultimately, there is no single outside person, circumstance, or force that can crush our human spirit once it has found the strength to embrace itself. You have done this. And now, it's time to use this power for even more good. I would tell your mom that you love her. Then, tell her you love her again. And then again. Don't even get into her absurdity about being fixed or talking to a therapist. Look at this obstacle with your mom as another opportunity to set yourself and your spirit free. It's a test to see how high you can rise, how big you can be, how much compassion you can summon, how much unconditional love you can develop. Tell your mom that no matter what she says or thinks, you know that deep down inside, she loves you. She brought you into this world and started you on this journey to realize yourself and release your spirit from her care. Remind her that this is your journey and your spirit and your life, not hers. Far too often, parents truly think of their children as their kids, rather than seeing the truth that they are simply custodians with the privilege of helping bring another sacred spirit into being, to give it love and the nurturing support it needs to thrive and develop the strength to become itself, your self, and not your mom's or anyone else's. Tell your sister that no matter how upsetting this may be for her, and no matter how cruel and drastic and hurtful she may try to be, you still love her. Then tell her you love her again. And then again. And tell her that no matter what she says, you know she still loves you, even if at times she herself doesn't realize it. You can tell her that you are still yourself. In fact, you are even more yourself than ever before. And you can add that you don't need her to say what she thinks about your choice, or even need her to understand it, because you love her beyond all understanding. The love you have for your family transcends all logic and norms of behavior, and rules and ideas that she or anyone has about you and your spirit. all you have is love. And all you care about is letting that love shine out from within you. Your love is big enough to compensate for the shortcomings and challenges others are facing. Your love is big enough to love your family even when it doesn't feel returned. Your love is big enough to envelop all the hurt and confusion and pain of life in one enormous, warm embrace. Your love is the ultimate love that empowers all your efforts, a true love for what is indestructibly and perpetually you. This is more than self-love. This is a pure and blinding love of all existence and the glory of this amazing and perplexing adventure called life. Focus on this love, and more love, and even more love. More love than necessary. More love than possible. You are this love, and this love is what you are releasing from within you as part of this journey. I'm proud of you, and I love you. Your friend, Andrew W.K. Wow. I'm having a hard time getting through that without tearing up myself. I don't know about you. You want to know how we're going to make it through all this conflict? Well, we're not going to make it if we keep screaming and throwing punches at opposing political ideologies. We're not going to make it by forcing religious beliefs onto others. We're not going to make it by forcing the silence of religious beliefs. We're not going to make it by spitefully mocking an issue that is important to other people. We are only going to make it if we start showing the same kind of love in that letter to that transgendered woman. We are only going to make it if we start showing some respect for people who, in good faith, have come to believe different things from our own beliefs. We're only going to make it if we stop believing that we have the right to force other people how to live their personal lives. You don't have to understand the journey a transgendered person is on simply to wish that person the best as they try to figure out their life. I mean, isn't that what we're all trying to do in some form or another? And I'll let you in on a little secret. I said it earlier. Division is a good thing. Division is honest. Those of you in the Christian religion may even be aware that Jesus Christ even stated his philosophy would divide people. When you discover who you are, what you believe, and what you want out of life, invariably it will put you at odds with someone else somewhere who doesn't agree with you. I am a proud, non-monogamous, bisexual male. I am in an open marriage with my wife. I have profiles on dating websites, and in every single one, I am fully honest about who I am. More times than I can remember, I have had great conversations with people and had good chemistry, but they just look at my photos and not what I wrote about myself, and suddenly, they disappear, and I never hear from them again. That's okay. It only makes me appreciate the ones who stick around. I don't care if I'm shunned or ignored. I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I am not. And I don't give a damn if you hate me. But I will battle you to the last of my strength if you try to force me to change who I am. And if you don't like it when somebody else forces their ideals on you, why do you keep trying to force your ideals on others? I know, you're not supposed to talk about politics or religion or sex. And yet, I just did. See? It's not that bad. At least you know where I stand. And if you disagree, that's fine too. I'll live my life the way I want. You live your life the way you want. And we'll stay out of each other's pursuit of happiness. Easy peasy. Now, if we could just get the other 300 million Americans and the other 700 billion people in this world to go along with that. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.